Archer will say good morning. Today's daf is Kuf Nun. 150, and we are picking up Emer Sashem on the top of 150. Kuf Nun Amud Aleph, and we are picking up actually second line. Velo Asu. We kind of left off in the middle of a thought. So as I shared this morning, is dedicated by Yaakov Ben Zakein in the Schus of Refuah Shlema for Chana Perel Bas Rechel. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Chana Perel will have a complete and enduring Refuah together with Kol Chole Yisrael. So let's begin. So remember, we were speaking about the idea as to whether or not, in certain circumstances, if one withholds metaltolin, if one withholds metaltolin, does the withholding of metaltolin of movable property constitute a shiur? So we were discussing this idea yesterday vis-a-vis an eved. So remember, Rabbi Elazar came along and said that asu metaltolin shiur eitzel eved, that ultimately if the adon goes ahead and gives his estate to the eved, but withholds metaltolin, so we would say, at least Rabbi Elazar would say, that lemaisa, again, the eved is not koneh himself. He does not acquire himself. Why? Because ultimately it's possible that the shiur metaltolin included the eved as well. Below asu, so again, I left off literally in the middle of the sentence of Rabbi Elazar, below asu metaltolin shiur eitzel ksuva, third line from the top on kuf nun. But however, I will say, when it comes to ksuva, so metaltolin, there's no shiur. So what does this mean? By the way, not shiur, like with an ayin, shiur, shin yud vav resh, holding something back. Look at the Rashbam for just a moment. It's actually right across the Rashbam. Below asu metaltolin shiur eitzel ksuva, this not, I will say, this is actually an interesting case. This not gabe hahi dahi b'mseches fe'al pirkin d'leil, ma'isin lo parshin lo ha'kosev nechosev lebanov. We'll say a man writes away, gives away his property to his sons. The kasav is while he's still alive. The kasav leishto karka koshu, and he gives to his wife a piece of land, a piece of property of the ksuvas. So we say that essentially when he gives her that piece of property, what ends up happening is that the ksuva lien is lifted from the rest of the estate and devolves only upon that particular parcel of land. These things, Gemara says, well, that's what it means. Abduk suvasa means, doesn't mean she's lost her ksuva, but rather she's lost the lien of the ksuva upon the general estate, and that lien only devolves upon that one very specific parcel. The istemukila hasam bishosakas, and ultimately, again, so we'll see about it later on. Some establish this as a case where the wife is silent when the husband is doing this. Uber shav Nachman kevan shasa shutefas bein habanim abduk suvasa. The bahi karka kolshu sheshir lo shlo nasan labanov machlok suvasa v'dafka kol karkash kolshu about shir lo v'kasav la metaltolin kolshu lo avdak suvasa the ksuva ikra gova mikarkav lo metaltolin mseches ksuva. So both say. So therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, what the Gemara says here is the following: in a case where a man gave away his entire estate. Gave away his entire estate and retained nothing for himself and gave his wife one parcel of land, assuming, by the way, that that parcel is significant enough that it equals the value of the ksuva lien devolves upon that one parcel and is lifted from the rest of the parcels transferred to the son. However, if let's say the man went ahead and retained some additional real estate for himself, the ksuva lien ultimately goes ahead and devolves upon those additional pieces as well. However, if the husband just retained metaltolin for himself, then ultimately the ksuva lien would not devolve upon metaltolin, because they both say in general, a ksuva only has a lien against what? Against real property. Fine. So the Gemara says, Shabbosai, the point over here that, remember, we're trying to figure out is shear metaltolin considered to be something significant or not? To which the Gemara says, Hassam, Shabbosai, over there in the case of the Mishnah and Peah, where a man goes ahead and writes all of his property to his Eved, Bin Dinhu Dilo Lisni Karko. The truth is, there is no need for the Mishnah to even bring up the issue of Karko. Va'aydit the Tanarisha. So why does Karko even show up in this case? Because of the Risha. What did the Risha say? Rabbi Kiva Omer, Karko Koshu Chayeves Pepe. So v'lichtav aleihem pruzbol, v'liknos imam nechasim sheish she'ein lehem achrayis b'kesef u'b'shtar b'chazaka. Because I will say the first part of that Mishnah, which has nothing to do with our discussion, but the first part of the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva mentioned karka, because karka was significant. Because if you have any amount of karka, that karka is chayiv in peah, which Rabbi Akiva refers to leaving over the corner. That karka is chayiv in bikurim, first fruits. That karka could be used ultimately again to write a pruzbol on it, and that karka could be used to go ahead and acquire nechasim she'ein lehen achrayis. And that karka ultimately again could be used to go ahead and acquire movable property as well. So the Gemara says, Mishum Hachi Katani Karka. That's why Rabbi said, because the Reisha in the Mishnah in Peah made mention of Karka, so therefore again the Seifa also mentions Karka. However, again, I will say, what comes out is in our Mishnah, right, in our Mishnah, so the mention of Karka is a more specific mention, and therefore, again, what we learn out over here, at least from where the Gemara is holding right now, is that if, let's say, a Shchidmira, I will say, remember, all of this is coming back to Shchidmira. And the question is the following. Here's what we know about Shchidmira, which is that something is only called a Matna Shchidmira if what? If the Shchidmira gave away all of his property. But if the Shchidmira retained something for himself, that is not called a matnas shchidmira. So the question becomes what? The question is, I understand if he retained some karka for himself, that's not called a matnas shchidmira. What happens, however, if he retained some metaltolin for himself? Is that called a matnas shchidmira? So that's our shayla. So also what the Gemara is suggesting over here is the fact that our Mishnah Dafka mentions karka and not metaltolin indicates to us that from a shchidmira perspective, it is only if the shchidmira withholds karka for himself that is considered to be a shiur, but if he just withheld metaltolin for himself, that would still be considered to be a bona fide matnas shchidmira. So Gemara says, 1 second. V'chol heicha detani kol shu less le shiura. Now remember, what the Gemara was suggesting was the following. The Gemara made it sound like in yesterday's daf, that is, if the shchidmira goes ahead and retains any amount of karka for himself, any amount of karka, therefore, again, I will say that is no longer considered a matna shchemira, but rather, again, that is just simply a bona fide matana. Remember, again, the nafkamina is what? The nafkamina is if the shchemira recovers. If he recovers, if it's a matna shchemira, then the gift returns. If it's a regular matana, so whether he dies or whether he recovers, the matana is still a bona fide matana. So the Bosa, the Gemara was suggesting that if the shchemira goes ahead and retains any amount of karka for himself, then lemaisa, again, that is no longer considered a matna shchemira, rather, again, it's a regular matana. So the Gemara says, so that's all based on the Mishnah's usage of the word kol shehu. So now the Gemara questions that, are you telling me that whenever we use the word kol shehu means anything, anything, even the smallest amount, v'chol heicha detani kol shehu, less le shiura? Are you telling me that wherever, again, wherever it says kol shehu, there is no shear? So the Gemara says, but 1 second, v'hatran, but we learned, Rebbe Dosa ben Hirkenes Omer, chamesh rechelos gozizos mana, gozizos mana, mana upras, we actually remove one of those manas, chayovos breishes agaz. Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkenes says the following, Rabbi Dosa breishes agaz means that you have to give the first of your shearings. If you have sheep and you shear them for wool, you have to give the first of your shearings to the Kohen. It's one of the matnos kuhuna. So Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkenes says that is only if you have a minimum of 5 sheep that each produce a mana and a half of wool. They have to each produce a mana and a half of wool. So that's the minimum shear for Reishis Agaz. The Chum say, no, even if it's Chamesh Rechelos, Gozizos, Kol Shehin. Even if you have 5 sheep and they produce any amount of wool. Any amount of wool. So we'll say, Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkenes says, there's a minimum amount of wool in order to be Chayv and Reishis Agaz. And the Chachamim say, no, any amount of wool that the sheep produce is enough to make you Chayv and Reishis Agaz. And we ask, Kama Kol Shehin, Chachamim, when you say any amount of wool, by the way, what's the definition of any amount of wool? So the Gemara says, so Amarav, mana upras. So Rav says, it has to be at least 1.5 mana of wool. So at least 1.5 mana of wool. Obilvad, shihu michumashos. And as long as each sheep is producing 1/5 of that 1.5 mana. In other words, you need 5 sheep, each producing 1/5 of a 1.5 mana's worth of wool. So I'll say, but what's the point of this? Without, again, yes, it's a great schus to learn about Reishis Agaz anytime, it's beautiful, but what's the point of this over here? The point of this, Yerubo says, you see the following, that the Rabbanon are using the word koshu, which means any amount, but yet what are they saying? Koshu doesn't mean any amount. Koshu means what, Rabbo say? Koshu is still a specific amount. In this case, it's 1.5 mana. So you see from here, see, we assumed that the word koshu means literally anything. What we're beginning to now see is that even the word kol shehu might refer to some type of shear, to which the Gemara says no. Hasam bedinhu del lisni kol shehu. The reality is the phrase kol shehu should not even be used in this discussion. So why is it used here? Va'idi dekamer tanakama shear rabba, but since the tanakama, which was said a large shear, which was Rabbo say 1.5 mana from each sheep, Amar ihu nami shiura zutra. The Rabbanon said a smaller shear, kari lei kol shehu. So we'll say, what the Gemara is saying over here is the following. The Rabbanon's small shear, compared to the Tanakama's large shear, the Rabbanon call a kol shehu. Because Rabbanon will say, it is much less than ultimately, again, remember, Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa is saying, Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus is saying, each sheep has to produce 1.5 mana of wool. The Rabbanon are saying, all five together have to produce 1.5 mana of wool. So the Rabbanon call their shear a kol shehu, compared to Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus. But Lamaisa, the Gemara says, you're right, they shouldn't have used that phrase, because that phrase is a bit misleading in this context. Pshita, so let's go back to a little bit. Pshita, Amar Metantala Laplonya. So let's listen to this. Now what the Gemara is going to get into, and this is really quite fascinating, is certain Lashonos, if a Shechidmira uses these particular words, what do these words mean? Meaning, what's the connotation? So watch this. Pshita, it's obvious. Amar Metantala Laplonya. Well, so let's say the Shechidmira says, I hereby give my metaltalin to Plony. So what does that include? See, the Gemara says, Kalmani tashmishta, it certainly includes all of his utensils, kani, libar michiti v'sari. So what the Gemara essentially says is, metaltali, if I say my metaltali go to ploni, that pretty much refers to my movable utensils, but not to my food. Not to my food. Libar michiti v'sari, even though technically speaking, food is metaltalin, also chiti, sorry, wheat and barley is metaltalin, but when I say metaltalin laplanya, it refers to my utensils, not to my food. However, if I say kol, which does not mean, but the shchimira, kol metaltalin, I will say first white line, kuf nun. If I say all of my metaltalin go to ploni, then what? Afilu chiti usari, va'afilu rechayim ha'alyon nakana. So I'll say in that case, if I say kol metaltalin, all of my metaltalin laploni, so he gets all of my utensils, and my food, including the upper millstone. We'll say, remember again, however, lebar mirchema tachtona, except for the bottom mill. So remember again, when people often had mills, so again, whether this was a commercial mill or even a home mill, mill was made up of two stones. You had one stone that was really attached, they're both movable, but one was more attached to the ground, and the other one was movable. So the Gemara saying over here is the following. If a shchimira says, I hereby give all my metaltalin to Ploni, that includes utensils, that includes my chitin and sar, my wheat and my barley, and it even includes the upper millstone. What doesn't it include? The bottom millstone. Why Rabbi will say? Because the bottom millstone is really fixed in place. However, if I say kol dimetaltel, if the shchimira says anything that what? Anything that is movable, then afil rechayim hatachtono. Then Rabbi will say that includes what? That includes even the lower millstone. So the Gemara goes weiter. Ibar lo. You know, by the way, just like the incredible mussar that often comes from, I mean, besides the fact that it's just rivetingly interesting just to learn these things, what's also the incredible mussar, because there's a mussar in everything, is your words, the power of your words, right? You understand the difference between saying, if somebody were to ask you on the street as you were walking into shir this morning, not that it's a good idea to make small talk with people walking in like at 5:40 in the morning, but you know, if you were to go and start to ask you, tell me, what's the difference between metaltali, call metaltali and call the metaltal? So you would have said, right off the, nothing. I would say, but you see that there are major distinctions. There's a distinction between metaltali, there's a distinction between called metaltal or called metaltali. It's an amazing thing how careful you have to be with your words, because each and every word contains a world of meaning onto itself. We see this all the time with our interpersonal interactions. The way you say something, how you say something, the mannerisms that you use when saying something, all rabbos, they have dramatically different impacts. Incredible. So the Margo's Vaiter. Ibailu, Abdi Kimikarka o Kimitaltam. So we'll say, here's what's amazing. We're going back to now a fundamental question. Is an Eved like Karka, or is an Eved like Metaltam? So we'll say, so we say to ourselves, come on. We have been discussing this question, I will say, is it 6 years this summer that we're into the Daf Yomi cycle? 5 years. So literally, without exaggeration, There's not a masechta that has gone by that we have not discussed this question. What is an Eved like? And the truth is, if there's one thing, right, in our journey through Shas that we felt we kind of had nailed down, is that an Eved is like karka. It's like, it seems like a Shas fundamental. Eved is like karka. Also, what you're seeing, by the way, now that's coming up, is that it's not pashut. That's always a good, always remember that phrase. Somebody asks you a question, right? It's not pashut. It makes it sound very scholarly. Right? It's not pashut. So the truth is, this is not pashut. Why? Because we see, and by the way, we've seen this come up in the sugya. The problem that we have with, there's no question that avadim hukshu l'karkos. There is no question from a halachic perspective that an eved is treated like real property in many ways. And from an inheritance perspective, it is the same way. But I will say, there's one inescapable reality, which is what? An eved is not a piece of land. Notice, I see that it's the inescapable reality. An eved is not a piece of land. But haraya, what's the proof that I will say? That an eved could run away. That an eved could go from here to here. So we have this interesting tension that I wanted from a halachic perspective. We've proven many times that an eved is like karka, but yet again, we can't get away from the fact that an eved is not karka. So therefore, I will say, the shayla now once again. Iboilu. Avde kimekarka o kimetal tolotami. Amar le Rav Rei Rav I Rav Avi le Rav Ashi Tashma. So let's analyze this. Hamocher sa'ir. So we'll say, let's try to prove it from here. Somebody sells a city. I own a city. I sell the city to Reuven. We'll say what's included in the sale. We saw this. Macher batim sichin ma'aros u'merchatzol. So based on batim and based on shalchin, suppose I've sold the houses in the city. I've sold the pits, the cisterns, bathhouses, olive presses. Beis HaShalchem, irrigated fields. I've sold all of that as part of the sale of the city. Aval, lo esamatalton. Rabbi said, but I have not sold movable property. Any movable property in there is not included in the sale of the city. Bizman she'amar hi v'chomash ha'besocha. But if I sell the city, Rabbi, and I say to the purchaser, I'm selling you the city and all that is in it, then what? Afilu hayaba behema o avadim harikulan mechurin. Then Rabbi said, everything in the city, including behemos, including avadim, are all included in the sales. It says the Gemara, Rabbi said, now we understand. E amrit v'shlama ki metalt l'dami. So if you say that an eved is like metaltalin, then what? Mishum hachi lo mizdabin bereisha. See, Rabbi said, in the first case of when I say I'm selling you a city, we'll say what's included in that sale? What's included in that sale? Karka and mechubra la karka, right? So I'm selling you houses, I'm selling you pits, cisterns, irrigated fields, we'll just call it fields for our purposes, wine presses, right, olive presses, because structures, either karka or structures that are attached to the ground. It's only when I tell you, I'm selling you the city, the chomasha bisocha, that includes the city, as well as all metaltalin. What does the Mishnah include in the list of metaltalin, Rabbi Osai? Avadim, slaves. So says the Gemara, if you say that an Eved is like metaltalin, then I understand why an Eved is not included in the first version of the sale, of where I'm just selling you the city. Because we'll say, again, Eved is not included there because an Eved is not included like karka, because an Eved is not treated like karka. Ele'i armet kime karka dami. But if you say that an Eved is like karka, I'm milo mizdabin. To Nabosai, why would an Eved not be sold along just with stam a city? Again, remember, when I sell a city, if I say to Reuven, I'm selling you the city, it's understood that I'm selling to Reuven anything that is karka or mechubra la karka. Yet again, an eved is not included in that list according to the Braisa. If an eved is really like karka, then it should be included in the stam sale of the city. To which the Gemara says, "Ve'ela mai kimetalt l'dami." So what do you see from your Rabbo? So you see that an eved is treated like metaltalin. To which the Gemara says, Maya afilu. So the Gemara has an interesting question about say, why does it have to say, why does the Braisa say afilu? Meaning, if you go back up, you don't have to go back up, I'll read it to you. But in the second case of this Braisa about say, where I say to Reuven, I am selling you a city, the chomasha besocha, and anything that's in it. So the Braisa says, afilu hayaba behema o avadim. Even if they were avadim there, why do you have to say afilu? Why don't you just say that if I say to Reuven, I'm selling you the city, the chomasha besocha, so what? Behemos, avodim are included. So what do you mean afilu? Why even? So we'll say, the word afilu has a connotation of what? It's different. There's a chiddush. It's like a chiddush. Right? Even something that you would not have thought it is included in the sale, even avodim that you would not have thought are included in the sale are in fact included. So what's the chiddush? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. My istachala meimar. Shiny metaltala denayed, mi metaltala delonayed. Because I would have thought the following. That even if you thought that an eved is like metaltalin, it will say, an eved is not normal metaltalin. Because it will say, even though we call metaltalin movable property, but it will say they're movable how? They're movable how? Because someone else moves them. Right? The pashtos, metaltalin, do not have the ability to move on their own. So I might have thought the havamina was that when I go ahead and I sell Reuven a city, and I say, Reuven, I'm selling you the city, and anything that's in the city. So the havamina is, that includes metaltalin. But what kind of metaltalin, Rabbi Osai? What kind of metaltalin? Stationary metaltalin. But, so therefore the Mishnah comes along, the Bais comes along and tells me, no, if I sell Reuven the city, the chomasha besocha, afilu behemos va'avadim. Even metaltalin, Rabbi Osai, that have their own volitional capacity, right? They have the ability to move on their own. Lemaisa, again, is also included in the sale. To which the Gemara says, oh, well, now that you're opening that to Rabbi Osai, then I can reinterpret the Brice a little bit differently as well. This is very exciting. The Gemara says, I could have said, if that's the case of Osai, then you know what? I could tell you that this Brice doesn't prove that avodim are metaltalin. This brisa might still prove that an eved is karka. 1 second. If an eved is karka, then what? Then what? So what was the shaila? If an eved is karka, then what? Then why is it that included in the initial sale of the city? I'll tell you why. Shiny karka denayed, mikarka delo nayed. Because Rabbi Osai, in the first case, ultimately, again, when we say that I sell, when I'm selling Reuven the city, and I'm selling Reuven, I'm selling you the city, and what does a basic sale of the city, Rabbi Osai, what does it include? It includes karka, and anything that is mechubar the karka. But what kind of karka does it include? It includes stationary karka. Who says that it includes mobile karka? Therefore, Rabbi Osai, what the Gemara suggests over here is that this brisa is not a raya one way or another, because the brisa could be interpreted as saying that avadim are like karka. Avadim are like karka, but avadim are unique because, again, they're mobile. It could be interpreted to say that avadim are like metaltalin, and the reason the brisa has to go out of its way to discuss as a novelty is because they're mobile metaltalin. On the flip side, it can also be interpreted as saying that avadim is like karka, but the reason it's not included in the original sale is why? Because the original sale only covers stationary karka, not mobile karka. Therefore, we have no raya. Tashma. So we had this case before, yesterday. Person goes ahead and writes his entire estate to his Eved, Yotza ben Chorin. The Eved goes to Rabbi Osai, because we understand that when someone writes their entire estate to their Eved, included in that estate is what? Is the Eved himself. However, Shir Karka Kol Shehu, Lo Yotza ben Chorin. Rabbi Osai, if the Adon retained even a small amount of property for himself, then what? Then the Eved does not go free, because Rabbi Osai, the concern is that the karka that the Adon was Meshayer for himself was in fact what? Was in fact the Eved himself. Rabbi Shimon says, the Olam Huben Chorin, Achiyomar Kol Nechasai Nisurin Leploni, Abdi Chutz Me'echa Mirabo Sheben. So Rabbi Osai, remember we saw this yesterday. Rabbi Shimon says that no, if the Adon just says, Stam, I retain some property for myself, we don't assume that's the Eved. But if the Adon says it in a more Mechubad way, he says, I retain, you know, 1/10 or whatever, 1/100 of my property for myself, that's when we assume that he's referring to, or potentially referring to the Eved himself, therefore the Eved would not go free. Vomrav Dini Bar Yosef Amar Rebbe Lozer. Asu metaltalin shir eitzel eved, velo asu metaltalin shir eitzel ksuva. So we'll say, we just read this. We just read this. This is the top of Amud Aleph. So Rebbe Lozer comes along and says, but just understand that if an Adon goes ahead and says, I hereby give all my property to the Eved, except metaltalin. He retains some metaltalin for himself. Rebbe Lozer says, Rebbe said that the Eved does not go free. Eved does not go free. Why? What's the concern? Because Rebbe said the concern is that maybe the metaltalin that the Adon held back for himself also includes in that what Rebbe said, the Eved himself. But Rebbe said that doesn't apply by ksuva. I'm not going to explain that again because we're just going to explain that on another. Rava, Rav Nachman, my time. So this is fascinating. So what did we just say? We just said that if an Adon goes ahead and gifts away all of his property to the Eved, but what? He retains some metaltalin for himself. The Adon does not go, the Eved does not go free. Why? Because it's possible that included in the metaltolin that the Adon retained for himself was what Rabbi Osai is the Eved. What do you see then? What do you see? That the Eved is metaltolin. So the Gemara says, my time of the metaltolu, or metaltolu, metaltolu, havishir. So ksuvas isha, mekarkohu, or metaltolu, mekarkohu, havishir. Rabbi Osai said, what do you see from here? You see from here that what? That an Eved is considered to be ultimately what? An Eved is considered to be metaltolin. And therefore, when the Adon goes ahead and keeps metaltolin for himself, it's possible that the Eved is included in that metaltolin. Also, remember the Ksuva case, which we literally just did this morning, so I'm not going to go through it again. But if I were to go through it, I would tell you that again, that's the case of where, remember, the father is going ahead and giving all of the property to the children, gives a one piece of karka to the wife, the Ksuva lien goes to that property. But if he retains some metaltolin, so if he retains some karka for himself, so then the Ksuva lien is still on everything. But if he just retains some metaltolin for himself, the Ksuva lien still remains just on that one piece of property. So we'll say, the point is, you see from here that what? That the evidence, like metaltolin, so says the Gemara, Amadeis, Amrale, Anan Mishum Delav Krus Gita, Masaninala. To which the Gemara says something very interesting. No. The reason why an Eved doesn't go free, Rabbi Osei, in that case, where the Adon keeps some metaltolin for himself, Rabbi Osei, is a more fundamental issue. It's not because that an Eved is like metaltolin, but rather, again, it's an issue, Rabbi Osei, in that the get. Remember, again, in order for an Eved to go free, an Eved requires a get shichra, a document of emancipation. The problem is that get, I will say, in many respects, is modeled like a get isha. There are many similarities in, again, a get shichra and a get isha. I will say, you know that the halacha is that by a get isha, it has to be a safer krisus. There can't be any strings attached between husband and wife, otherwise the get is, remember that from our gittin days. Look at the Rashbam for just a moment. The Rashbam says, da'ana mishum lav krus gita masnin Allah. Eved, Gomer, La La, Mi Isha, the beginning gets pisa. So we'll say, we have a Gzir Shem of La La from Isha to teach us that just like an Isha requires a get, so too an Eved requires a get. The Cheban di Yesh, La Bala, Eved, Schos, Pishtar, Shekazubo, Sheshir, Karaka, Matadi, La Asmo, Lo Hikna, Lo Hashtar, La Gamri, Shegam, Schusa, Adun, Kasubo, Hilchach, Lo Karina, Be, Get, Krisos, Kenyan, Zepir, Shabin, Chavos. Listen to this. Rav Hashalom says something amazing. He says, here's the problem. When an Adon frees his Eved, it has to be a safer krisos. There has to be a total and whole division between the both of them. Here's the problem. If an Adon goes ahead and conveys property to the Eved, right? Conveys property to the Eved. And of course, included in that property is what? Is what? Is the Eved himself. If the Adon is retaining something for himself, Rav Osei, then the Gemara posits that's a problem in the krisos. Then ultimately, again, the Adon is still retaining something. By the Adon still retaining something, that is not a full break with the Eved. Because it's not a full break with the Eved, that's why ultimately, again, the emancipation does not work. See, Rav Osei, the Gemara was trying to say the reason the emancipation doesn't work was why? Was because the Adon held on to some metaltolin. And we were trying to show that to prove that what? That maybe the Eved is part of that metaltolin, giving us the Raya that the Eved is considered like metaltolin, not karka. To which the Gemara now posits, no. The reason why this case doesn't work, the reason why the Eved doesn't go free here, is not because an Eved is metaltolin. It's quite possible that the Eved is karka. The reason the Eved doesn't go free over here, was supposed to be the get shichra, the document of emancipation, is not effective. Why? Because at the end of the day, the Adon is retaining something for himself. And as Rabbi Osei, I want to be clear. Had the Adon just freed the Eved free and clear without giving him property, that would have been fine as well. The fact that Adon and Eved have kind of like shared property interests, that's where there's a problem, says the Adon. We're going to challenge this, but that's the Havamina, because we're now like partners in a way, even though we're not, because the Adon is retaining something for himself, but because we're dividing up estates, we're too connected. We're too connected. And because we're connected in some way, therefore the get krisus is not good, and that's why the Eved doesn't go for you. But I will say, we're kind of back at square one a little bit, because at the end of the day, we have not resolved, isn't Eved karka, or isn't Eved metaltin? So I will say, we're going to take a break. We're not break. We're going a little bit tangent on that. We're going to go on a little bit of a tangent for just a moment, but we're not finished with this. So the Gemara goes weiter. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman. So Rav saying, Rav Nachman, both say, Chamisha. There are five people. Five people. Ad Sheyichtivu Kol Nechaseim. Both say, there are five people whose gifts are not fully effective unless they give away all of their property. Ve'elohin, who are the Rabosai? Get ready. Shechid Mira, number one, Avdo, slave, Ishto, wife, Banav, sons, Mavrechas. We'll say Mavrechas, we're going to a very interesting case of a wife, a woman who does not want her husband to have any rights in her property. We'll discuss why. Shechid Mira, we'll say, so now we're going to go through all five cases. What's the case of Shechimira? This night, Shechimira Shakasav Kalmechasav La'achirin V'shir Karka Kolshu. Shechimira Boseh goes ahead and gives away his entire estate to someone else. And what happens? He retains some property for himself. Kolshu Boseh. Now again, whenever we see that phrase now, for the rest of your life, you're going to get very excited. Because remember again, now I know, does Kolshu mean Kolshu? Does Kolshu mean anything? Or does even kosher mean some minimum amount? Incredible. So it says the Gemara, so what happens? Shechimira goes ahead and gives away his entire estate to someone else, but he holds back, he retains some amount of property for himself. Now, these words are very interesting. Matanasa kayames. We'll say, what does that mean, matanasa kayames? Matanasa kayames means his gift stands even if he recovers. In other words, that Rabbi say, when he retains some property for himself, that is no longer called a matna shchidmira. That is no longer called a deathbed gift. Why? Why? Because they both say, the deathbed gift means you're giving away everything because you know you're going to die. However, if you retain something for yourself, that is just called what? A gift, a matana. We all say, matana, no backseas, as they say, right? Matana, you live, you die. If you gave it as a gift, it's a gift. So matana comes, even if he recovers, ultimately, again, the gift stays. Lo shir karka kosher, Rabbi Osei. If the Shechimira gave away everything, then what, Rabbi Osei? It is clear that he is giving this away because he thinks he's going to die, which Rabbi Osei means the novelty here is what? We look at a matna Shechimira as a gift al tnai. Right, Shechimira says, I'm giving you this gift, parentheses, on the condition that what? I die. Now, of course, he's not articulating that, but it's contextually understood. So because he is dying, he's on his deathbed, and he's giving away everything, retaining nothing for himself, therefore, again, Lamaisa, it's on the soil, there's a Tanai. Therefore, the Gemara says, in Matanasa Kayames, which means, if he recovers, the gift is voided, and the properties must be given back. So we'll say that's case number one. Next, Avdo, what's the case of Eved? We just saw this three times today. This nun, Hakosid, called the Chas of La Avdo, person goes ahead and writes his entire estate to his Eved. He gives all his property to his Eved. Yotze ben Chorin. Then the Eved goes free. Why does the Eved go free? Because we assume that who is included in the gift of that estate? The Eved himself. So the Eved acquires himself and the property. However, Shir Karka Koshu, but if the other one retained some amount of land for himself, Lo Yotze ben Chorin, then Rabbi say, what? Then the Eved does not go free, because we're concerned again that Lemaisa, the part of the karka that the other one was Mishayer, also included the Eved. Ishto, we'll say, what's the case of Ishto? Ha'amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, ha'kosev kol nechasav li'ishto. If a man writes his entire estate to his wife, then we'll say, now the way this would sound like is a man is giving his entire estate to his wife, thereby depriving his children of Yerusha. So remember again, how do we understand such a statement? Lo asa ela apetropa. We'll say, we assume that a man is not going to deprive his children of Yerusha. So when he writes his estate to his wife, what he's effectively doing is what? Making her the apotropis. He's making her the executor of the estate. Banov, Rabbi say, what's the case of sons? This nana kosev kol nechas of lebanov. Rabbi say, if a man writes his entire estate to his sons, because of leishto karka kolshun, and he goes ahead and he assigns, he gives his wife a particular piece of property, of the ksuvasa. We just had this before as well. Of the ksuvasa means what? Not that chasram she's lost her ksuva, but rather again, she's lost her lien. In other words, the lien is lifted from the property conveyed to the sons and only vests upon the piece of land given to the wife. Now, Arab also remember again, as the Rashbam pointed out, the name of the Rabbeinu Chananel, the way this case is often set up is when she's shosekes. She sees what's happening and she does not object to it. So we understand her silence as acquiescence to this process. The ksuvalin is lifted from all the properties and just devolves upon the one property that she's being given. So I said, again, the common theme as you see over here, all cases where the reality is only affected if there's a total conveyance of property. But I'll say, look at this last case. This is very interesting. Mavrechas. I will say, what's Mavrechas? Mavrechas literally means run, running away. But causing something to run away. Causing something to run away. So what's the case of mavreches? So it says the Gemara, the Amar Mar, mavreches tzricha shetichtav kol mechaser. We'll say, what's the case over here? Take a look at the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, he says mavreches, it's right across in the short lines, about 6 lines from before it becomes wide. Mavreches the Amar Mar, kolomar isha amona sheyesh la nechasim, v'dayta linosei. So we'll say, what's the case? The case of a woman who is widowed. She's getting remarried. She does not want her new husband to have any rights in her property. She doesn't want to, so what happens? Meaning, let's say she has children. She wants her children to be the sole beneficiaries of her estate. So she does not want her husband to have any rights. So how does a woman who is remarrying make sure her new husband has no rights in her property? So the Gemara says, "Bimtis amanot tiskar shachs rula nechasel." Actually, the way the Rashbam points out, we'll say over here, is she wants to have her property intact for her in the event that she is widowed or divorced again. In other words, let's say we'll say there's a second marriage, or third, or fourth, or fifth, whichever number. And what happens? She wants to make sure that she has her property for herself. So she doesn't want her husband having any rights in it. So what does she do? Look what the Rashbam says. The Rashbam says, "Yachzul lachasev v'lo yitzim erishus kodem nisuin yiskeh shetichtov kol nechasel la'acher stam kevun v'lo shayramidi anan sahadi v'lo nitna l'zre ela b'shlo shirotzi linasei." So let's listen to this. What she does is she could gift the properties to someone else. Since she retains nothing for herself, it's understood, Rav Osai, that what's happening over here, she's just giving a gift to someone for the duration of the marriage so that the properties will be shielded from the husband's usage. And it's understood that what? That in the event that she is divorced or her husband dies, that she gets back all of this property. I'm reading in the first wide line of the Rashbam. So we'll listen to this. So the Gemara says, however, if she retained some property for herself, so we'll say, but the Gemara is operating from the following idea. It's not a normal thing for a person to gift away all of their property. People don't do that. When do people do it? If they're shchemira, or we'll say if they're essentially trying to find like some type of, I want to call it like a marriage shelter, right? It's not like a tax shelter. It's a prenup, but it's a pretty dramatic prenup. Meaning, again, what she's essentially doing is she is shielding the property from her husband's reach. How is she shielding it from her husband's reach? By essentially taking it out of her rishos. If it's not in her rishos, her husband has no rights in it. So she's making a comprehensive gift to another by saying, here, take my property. I'm gifting you my property. So the Gemara understands over here. Let's go back to the Gemara. Mavrechas tamamar, mavrechas tzricha shetichtov kol mechasel. We'll say ultimately again, but this only works if she mamish gifts all of the property. She has to gift the property in its entirety. If she retains anything for herself, then we understand that what? That it's a real gift. Or bekulu matatli avishir lebar miksuvasa. So once again, Abbas Levi Gemara says, and in all of these cases, Lemaisa again, so Abbas Levi, if you go ahead and you hold back metaltalin, so it would be a shear, with the exception of ksuva, where if the husband holds back some metaltalin, it's not considered to be a shear, since the ksuva lien is only upon karka, not upon metaltalin. Ameimar Amar, so Ameimar says, metaltli the ksiva the ksuva, the istnu be'enayo habishir. Amir says there is one exception. We'll say if again in the ksuva it is written that the wife has the ability to collect her ksuva from certain metaltalin, and that metaltalin is in existence, and the husband holds back that metaltalin, then indeed we'll say that would be a shir. Fine. So we'll say Sigmar goes later. Amar nechasi leplanyo. Nechasi leplanyo. So we'll say if a person goes in and says, I hereby give my nechasin to Ploni. Avdo ikri nechasi. I will say, see, here's what's interesting. What the Gemara is going to deal with is the following. If a person makes a statement, and by the way, lav dafka that this is a shchimira. This doesn't have to be a case of a shchimira. But this is just a case where a person is conveying property. So I say, my nechasim go to Ploni. I use the word nechasim. So the obvious shayla is, what's covered under the word nechasim. So avda ikri nechasim. So Gemara is going to go through a whole list. An eved is called nechasim. Where do we know this? This nan hakosei kol nechasav la avdo yotze ben chorin. If a person writes all of his property to an eved, so the eved goes see. So what's like why? Because the eved is included in nechasim. So what do you see from here? That an eved is called nechasim. Ara ikri nechasim. Land is also called nechasim. This nan nechasim sheyesh lahen achrayis. Niknin bekesef b'shtar b'chazaka. So we'll say, you see that land is referred to as nechasim. Glima, a cloak, ikri nechasim, is called nechasim. This nan, v'she'ein lehen achray. So we'll say, we call it nechasim she'ein lehen achray. It's movable property. So we'll say, a glima, like a cloak, is also called nechasim. I'm sorry. Zuzi ikri nechasim. Money is called nechasim. This nan, v'she'ein lehen achray. So we'll say, we call it nechasim she'ein lehen achray. It's movable property. Niknim in nechasim sheyesh lanachrayis bekesef ubishtaro bechazaka. So we'll say, so the point that Gemara is making over here is that nechasim is a pretty overarching term. That lemaisa so far it's going to include avodim, it's going to include karka, it's going to include money, it's going to include glima. So we'll say the Gemara just gives an example of this, that money is also called nechasim sheyin lanachrayis. So we'll say the case of Rapapa, we learned this before. Havel tracer alfei zuzei bechazoi. But remember again, we saw this case. Rav Papa had 12,000 zuzim in Bechozai. So we'll say, remember this was the case where ultimately, again, he wanted to send Rav Shmuel Bar Acha to go and pick up his money. What was the concern? The concern was the custodians of the money were not going to release the money to Rav Shmuel Bar Acha. Why? Because if something were to happen to the money on the way, they, the custodians, would be responsible. So Rav Papa had a very interesting idea. Rav Papa says, okay, Rav Shmuel Bar Acha, I'm going to convey you ownership of the money. That way when the custodians give you the money, they're free and clear. If something happens on the way, it's going to be my problem or your problem, but they are free and clear. So how did Rav Papa convey to Rav Shmuel Bar Acha the ownership of 12,000 silver pieces, 12,000 zuzim? So he says, Akninu nehil Rav Shmuel Bar Acha agav asefa debesa. So remember again, he gave Rav Shmuel Bar Acha ownership of property, and through acquiring the property, nechasim sheish lanachrayis, he acquired the money. So we'll say this was an illustration of nechasim sheish lanachrayis, Nikdin in mechasim sheish lanachrayis bekesef ubishtar. So the Gemara says kiyasa nafik kinafik lape atavach. So we'll say Rav Papa was so happy that this worked that, remember again, he went out to greet Rav Shmuel all the way until Tabach. He was so happy. So we'll stop over here for today unless we're picking up a show. So again, we're just going through the list. If a shchimira or anyone else says, I hereby give my nechasim to Ploni, what is included in that list of nechasim? We're just going through down the list of things that are called nechasim and therefore included in that statement.